I enjoyed that tonight. Appreciate Sister Joyce playing that. Love that last song. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I had to write down what she said before she played. I'd rather mess up for Jesus than live a perfect life for the devil. I like that. And that is true. I do a lot of messing up. But I can tell you that the worst day as a Christian, born-again believer, is better than the best day before I got saved. And I sure am glad that God saved me. And He's been more than good to me. He's been more than precious to me. I think about Psalms chapter 145. I've been reading there this week and thinking about that. Psalms chapter number 145. One of my favorite verses is in that chapter there. I'm trying to find it for you. Psalms chapter 145. He talks about the preciousness of God. He said, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy." I think about that verse a lot. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. If the Lord was not all four of those things, then He would not be Lord enough to save me. But because the Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and of great mercy, God has enough to save somebody like me. And I praise the Lord for that. He's been such a good God. Would you turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter number 18. Revelation chapter number 18. We're getting very, very close to the end of the book of Revelation. After this, after tonight, we'll have chapter 19, 20, 21, and 22. Just about four more chapters to the end of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 18, and we'll read the entirety of the chapter. I ask that you'd honor God's word by reading along with us. I ask that you'd read along comprehensively. Don't drift off while we're reading. I know it's very easy to do that, but read along with us tonight. This is, of course, John, the disciple of Jesus. He's writing everything that he sees in the vision of Revelation. He says in verse number 1, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying," what? "Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, and that she receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying," what do they say? "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Verse number 20, notice, Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. I thank you for reading that lengthy portion of Scripture with me. I want you to notice, especially tonight before we pray, verse number 8 especially. It says, Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned. I want to preach tonight on this thought, Babylon will burn. Babylon will burn. Let's pray one more time. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray you take what we've read tonight, help us to exposit it, to preach it, help us to understand it, that we may apply it to our lives. Lord, there is great deep wells of application here. Lord, I pray you to give us the understanding to reach down in them and take up the application. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for reading and praying with us. I want to preach on this thought tonight, the central thought, really, of chapter 18, Babylon will burn. I hope that you've been able to study along with us as we've been preaching through the book of Revelation. And I do thank God modern technology allows us to be able to record services and go back and listen. And that is, I think, a great thing. But if you've been studying along with us in the book of Revelation, then you've probably realized something by now. You have probably realized that much attention has been given in this book to a certain subject, the subject of Babylon. Has anybody else noticed that? Babylon has been mentioned a whole lot inside the book of Revelation. More specifically, we find that Revelation deals not only with Babylon, but it deals specifically with the destruction of Babylon. God is not so much concerned in this book with talking about Babylon as much as he is talking about the destruction and the death of Babylon. If you remember back in Revelation chapter 14 and a harlot, and he not only gave us a description of Babylon, but he talked about the destruction of Babylon. Babylon. That is what all chapter 17 is all about, Babylon. Do you remember that? Do you remember how he pictured Babylon as a harlot? And Babylon is a picture of the false religious system and the false religious influence of the devil inside the world today. Do you remember that? That woman, that's what she pictures Babylon, the false religion of the devil, because Christ has his bride, and so the devil has his harlot, his imitation of true religion. And then if you remember last week, we not only saw the description, but we found this woman was destroyed. Look in chapter 17 and verse number 16. Chapter 17, verse 16. He said, "In the 10 horns which thou sawest, which are 10 kings, it said, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." We found last week that Babylon will be destroyed. The religious system of Babylon during the tribulation, it is going to hold hands with the empire of the Antichrist, and the religious system of Babylon is going to enjoy great fame and great power for a short amount of time until the Antichrist turns on her and destroys her. I don't know why the Antichrist will do this. Perhaps this will happen whenever he declares himself to be God. Maybe he'll put this religious system away and destroy it whenever he says that he is God. No matter what, how it happens, we can know from Revelation 17 that false religion is going to be destroyed by God, never to rise again. That is what chapter 17 is about, the destruction of Babylon. So let me ask you a question tonight. We're in chapter 18. If we've talked already about Babylon, and we've already talked about the destruction of Babylon, then why are we talking about it again in Revelation 18? Is that a fair question? We've read 18 tonight. It's a very long chapter, about 24 verses. And it seems to be about the same things that Revelation 17 is about. We know that chapter 18 is clearly about Babylon also, right? Look in chapter 18, verse 2. He said, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying what? Babylon. Look in Revelation 18, verse number 10. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city, what? Babylon. Look in Revelation 18, 21. He says that great city, Babylon, will be thrown down. So clearly, chapter 17 is about Babylon, and chapter 18 is also about Babylon. Now, chapter 17 pictures the destruction of Babylon. We saw that. We just read that the kings of the earth will hate her and will make her naked and desolate and will eat her flesh and will burn her with fire. That's symbolic of the destruction of Babylon. So if chapter 17 is about the destruction of Babylon, then why does chapter 18 seem to talk about the same things? Look in chapter 18, verse number 8. He said, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Look in chapter 18, verse 10. He says, in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So let me ask you a question tonight. Chapter 17 is about Babylon. Chapter 18 is about Babylon. Chapter 17 talks about her destruction. And chapter 18 talks about her destruction. So is chapter 18 simply a repetition of the chapter before it? Is it just sort of redundant? I want to show you a few things that will help us to make a distinction between these two chapters. Because I can tell you this, God does not repeat things without doing them for a reason. There is something distinct between chapter 17 and chapter 18, and I want you to show that. If we don't understand what is different about these chapters, we won't understand chapter 18. I want you to look first in verse number 1. Verse number 1 is going to make it very clear that chapter 18 is talking about a different event. How does the verse start? Verse 1. He says, and after these things. That's very important. Why? Because in chapter 17, we've already seen Babylon destroyed. And he makes it very clear that after these things, I saw another angel. Notice that's very important. He sees another angel. Revelation 17 begins with one of the angels that had the seven vials of God's wrath. Then we see that Babylon is destroyed in chapter 17. And then he says, after these things, I saw another angel. That makes it very clear that John has moved on and is talking about something different than the chapter before it. Let me show you. Let's look at something else that will make a distinction between these chapters. Look back in chapter 17 and look in verse number 16. He says, and the ten horns, which if you remember, they represent ten kings. These ten kings, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, which is Babylon. So who do the kings hate? They hate Babylon. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So in chapter 17, the kings of the earth hate Babylon and they destroy her. Now look in chapter 18 and verse number 9. Chapter 18, verse 9. What does it say? And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. That's a great difference, isn't it? In chapter 17, the kings hate her and they are the ones that destroy her. But in chapter 18, the kings are weeping and crying because she is destroyed. So this is clearly talking about something different. I think there's also something else worth taking note of here. Chapter 17 is a very symbolic chapter in its language. When chapter 17 talks about Babylon, it's very symbolic. Babylon is described as a woman, and it's not talking about a real woman. It's talking about Babylon, the religious system. She's described as a woman. She's arrayed in purple and decked with gold and precious stones. And she sits upon the beast, which is symbolic of the Antichrist. And even her destruction in chapter 17 is also symbolic. When it says that the kings of the earth are eating her flesh, they're not eating literal flesh, but it's symbolic of her destruction. So chapter 17 is very symbolic in its language. But here in chapter 18, it's not symbolic at all. There's no reason that it would be symbolic. This chapter is very literal. In chapter 18, we read of a literal city, a great city, that will be utterly burned with fire, literally. We read of literal, real kings that will cry and lament over her burning. We read of real merchants and businessmen that will be impoverished by her destruction. And the details of this are not symbolic. All the things that it mentions, gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, wood, vessels of ivory, vessels of precious wood, brass, iron, marble, cinnamon, odors. These things are literal things, not symbolic. Not only this, but we find there are literal sailors and shipmasters and world tradesmen that will cry when they see the smoke of her burning. So what I'm trying to get at here is that chapter 17 is talking about something different than what chapter 18 is talking about. So what is the difference between the Babylon of 17 and the Babylon of 18? Here is the difference. In chapter 17, we're reading about the destruction of the religious system of Babylon. The worldwide universal paganism of Babylon. We talked about that last week. Chapter 18 is the destruction of the literal city of Babylon. In the Bible, Babylon is either one of two things. Babylon either stands for the religion of Babylon, or it stands for the literal nation and the city of Babylon. Remember, we read about the religion of Babylon, how it's lived and survived throughout all the years, and how it's merged even with Christianity to make a false Christianity. We read about how Baal worship in the Bible came from that religion. But there is also the city or the nation of Babylon. And this chapter is clearly about a city. Look in verse 10. Verse 10 of chapter 18 says, they called it that great what? City. And that mighty city. Look in verse 16. It's called the great city. In verse 18, they said, what city is like unto this great city? In verse 19, they call it that great city. So that is at least 6 times in this chapter it is referred to as a city. So that is what this is about. Friend, I want you to God wants us to understand his dealings with Babylon. The religious system of Babylon started with the literal city of Babel when it was first built in Genesis. And they have both made it throughout thousands of years. And friend, what we're going to find is God is showing us that they will one day be destroyed by God again. Now, the religious system of Babylon, it's still going on today, but it is going to be revived during the tribulation, and it will be more powerful than it's ever been. Well, just like that, the literal city of Babylon is going to be revived again and rebuilt during the last days. Babylon has been a city that lasted for thousands of years, but right now there is no Babylon. But the Bible clearly shows us that Babylon will be rebuilt one day, and shortly after it will be destroyed by God again. Why is God doing this? Why is God spending so much time telling us in these chapters about the destruction of Babylon? After all, it doesn't seem like we have a whole lot to do with Babylon today, especially since there isn't even a city of Babylon today. Why is God doing this? Revelation, one of the reasons why God wrote Revelation is a book of closure. God, in the last book of the Bible, gives us a lot of closure about some things going on today. What do I mean by that? God wants us to understand that he is not going to turn a blind eye to sin and wickedness forever. God doesn't want us to think today that we're going to go on with suffering and sin all the eternal days. He wants us to know that there is coming a day when God will cut the work short in righteousness and will judge sin and will end suffering and pain. You know what that is? That is closure. That is some closure for us. Not only this, God wants us to also to know that he's not going to let the devil get away with a single thing that the devil does. And he shows us in this book the judgment of the devil. You know what that is? That is closure. God wants us to know that he will execute judgment against all false religion. He wants us to know that there will be a day when there will be only one religion, and that is the true religion of the Word of God. That's why in chapter 17, he gives us closure by showing us the end of Babylon, the religious system, and the end of all false religion. That is closure today. Friend, that only true and pure religion, undefiled by Christ, will stand. So this chapter is no different. Chapter 18 is giving us closure. In the Word of God, we saw the very beginning of Babylon in Genesis in chapter 11. We've seen throughout the Old Testament the growth of Babylon. We have seen Babylon always as a place of opposition toward God. And we have even seen Babylon at the very heights of her rebellion against God. And so now God is going to give us some closure. That same city that we've seen all throughout Scripture, we are finally going to see the end of that city. Now you say, Revis, I understand that God is going to destroy the pagan religion of Babylon. I understand that. But maybe you say, Revis, what could be such a big problem that God has with a city? Why does God have such a beef with the city of Babylon that he's going to raise it up again one day just to destroy it? What is so bad about Babylon? And why would God do this to a city that we're talking about? Well, let me tell you this. You say, what's God's problem with Babylon? Well, I'll tell you this. It's probably very similar to the problem that God had in Genesis with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't he? You say, why would God destroy a city? For the same reason that he's destroyed cities in times past. You remember what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of old? It says that their wickedness was so great that it reached unto heaven, and it called for God to do something about it. And so God came down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and with brimstone. The same reason why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is the same reason why God will destroy Babylon, and he will do it in the same way. The sins of Babylon throughout history, they have flown in the face of God since her birth in the days of Nimrod. And God has promised to judge her in the Old Testament, and he is going to judge her fully and finally one day in the last days. Did you know this? That the city of Babylon is mentioned more than any other city in the Bible besides Jerusalem. Jerusalem is mentioned the most in the Bible, but Babylon is mentioned second to the most. Over 260 times God refers to Babylon. One preacher said it this way. He said that the Bible is the tale of two cities, the city of Jerusalem and the city of Babylon. Every time Babylon is mentioned in the Bible, it represents opposition to God. So you say, Revis, I still don't understand. Why is God going to destroy this city one day? Here is why. There have been many cities that have been very wicked. By the way, we have a lot of wicked cities here in America today. And all of us really deserve God's wrath. So why not Sodom and Gomorrah in Revelation 18? Why not Chicago? Why not one of the capital cities of Russia or Iraq or Iran? Why Babylon to be that city? Here is why. Because Babylon has always represented several things that have represented all of mankind. And so God judging Babylon represents God's judgment of those things which Babylon represents. You say, what does Babylon represent? Number one, Babylon has always represented the prideful humanism of mankind against God. You say, what does humanism mean? Humanism is whenever man attempts to make himself God. Humanism is when man excludes God from his universe, and it's only us, we are our gods, this is our universe, this is our world, and we will do what's best for us in our world. Many people talk about humanism today as if it's a good thing, and friend, humanitarianism is a good thing, but humanism is not a good thing, because friend, excluding God has never been good. But Babylon has always represented prideful, humanistic rebellion against God as a whole. You say, how is that? It represents the centralizing of man's efforts to rid the world of God. You say, how is that? Turn back with me. Genesis chapter number 11. Everybody turn. Genesis 11. Well, let's look at the founding of this city. Genesis chapter 11. And verse number 1, notice how this chapter begins. He said, and the whole earth was one language and of one speech. So back in those days, the world technically was unified. The population was one dialect, one speech, one language together. Verse number 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. So we have the whole earth, one language, one speech, unified. And then they centralized to one place, the plain of Shinar. Then look in verse 3. And they said one to another, notice these words, go to, they said, let us. What do they say? Let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Then look in verse 4. And they said, go to, what's those two words? Let us build us a city. What did they build? A city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. What was going on with the building of Babylon? And a lot of times when we read this, we talk about the Tower of Babel. But it wasn't just the Tower of Babel, it was the city of Babel. The Tower of Babel represented that religion of Babylon. The city represented the rebellion, the humanistic pride of mankind against God. The whole earth was unified in one language. They centralized in one place, and they said, let us make us a city. And not only a city, but a name. What is that? That is pride. The building of the city of Babylon was the first time that man united in pride and rebellion against God and decided to make a religion and a place for them that had nothing to do with God. What is that? That is prideful humanism. That is the centralizing of man's efforts to rid the world of God. Pride was the original sin. Remember that? What was the devil guilty of in heaven? Pride. He wanted to be like the Most High, be like God. The sin of Adam and Eve was related to pride. They wanted to be as God and gods. Babylon is the first time that the whole earth unified in pride against God. What a blasphemy. What a sin. How sinful this was. And it was so sinful that the Lord himself came down to see the city that they built, and he confounded the language just to refrain them a little bit. He didn't refrain them because he was scared of them, but so that their wickedness would not become so great that he'd have to destroy the world again so soon. It rose up before God. Babylon was where all of this began, and Babylon was a great city for many years after that. The plain of Shinar. You can read in the book of Daniel that Babylon was still in the plain of Shinar, the same city. They had the same religion, the same things, and that pride continued. Babylon became a world power. For really thousands of years, Babylon was the capital of the world. Unified in pride. Look with me in Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4. That's in your Old Testament. It's after the book of Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Look in chapter 4 and verse 30. Verse 29. We read here of Babylon. They were the chief enemies of Israel. They took Israel into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Look what it says, Daniel 4:29. He said, at the end of 12 months, he, or Nebuchadnezzar, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake, what did he say? The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? What is he doing? This is the same pride that Babylon was founded on. And the king of Babylon was ate up with the pride of Babylon. It's all the same thing. Let us make us a name for our honor and our majesty without God. And what did God do? God took the kingdom away from Nebuchadnezzar, didn't he? He took that away. And that is representing what's going to happen eventually for the entire kingdom of Babylon. Look with me in the book of Jeremiah. Turn back just a few. Turn back to Ezekiel, then Jeremiah. Look in chapter number 50. Jeremiah 50. Look in verse 24. What does he say? He's prophesying against Babylon. And he says, I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon. And thou wast not aware, thou art found, and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. There is that rebellion against God. Look in the same chapter in verse 29. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done to undo unto her. For she hath been what? Proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Look in verse number 31. And thee, behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. Look in verse 32. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. What do we see again and again? The pride of Babylon. Babylon is this city that God's going to destroy, because Babylon has always represented the centralized pride of mankind against God, humanism and rebellion against God. And you know what the Bible says about pride? Pride goeth before a fall. What does he say again and again and again and again in Revelation? Babylon is fallen. Pride goeth before a fall, and the pride of Babylon is great, so the fall of Babylon will be great as well. You know what they say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The pride of Babylon is the greatest, the most proud, and she will fall like none before her have ever fallen. What else does Babylon represent? She represents not only the pride and humanism of mankind, but she represents the materialism of mankind. She represents, and Babylon has always been characterized by the pursuit of luxury apart from God. This city represents all that the devil can offer you in this world today. You go back and you can read in the book of Daniel about Babylon. You can read about all the wealth of Babylon, all the things that Belshazzar took out on his famous night of his feast, all the golden vessels. You can read of the golden image Nebuchadnezzar made, and you can read all about the materialistic luxury of Babylon. Did you know that Babylon was actually a city that was 60 miles around in the Old Testament? It was surrounded by two brick walls. The outer wall was 87 feet thick. It was anywhere between 100 and 350 feet tall, the wall was. It had 250 towers around the wall, and the wall was wide enough on the top of it to drive six chariots side by side on the wall around Babylon. Outside of these two walls, it had a ditch that was dug, that was irrigated and fed by the river of the Euphrates. It was a place of immaculate riches. One of the great ancient wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, completely man-made. It was a place of materialism. And the Babylon that will be rebuilt will be even more luxurious and materialistic with today's advancements than Babylon ever could have been then. You can read in Revelation 18 all the things and the precious stones and all these things that are found in Babylon. It represents materialism. Mankind is always searching after things. God says it's going to burn up. What's God doing? Chapter 17 is the end of all false religion. Chapter 18 is going to be the end of all of man's prideful rebellion against God centralized in the nations. From Babylon, all the nations dispersed. And from Babylon to Babylon, they're all going to return and unite under Babylon. And God's going to destroy that. You know what that is? God is going to destroy godless politics is what he's going to do. Because here in a few chapters, Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to set up his kingdom and will rule with a rod of iron and will not be defeated. There'll be no more politics or man-made economics whenever Jesus Christ rules and reigns. But what he is doing here in chapter 18 is putting an end to all of this prideful humanism and all the materialism and the world politics that are godless apart from him. He's putting that all down whenever he is putting down Babylon in these last days. We could go on. There's many things we could say. We're going to draw to a close here. I see the time. You say, why will Babylon be rebuilt? Well, I'll tell you this. There are prophecies in the Old Testament against Babylon that have not yet been fulfilled. You can mark down, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 13. You can read Isaiah 13. You can read Jeremiah chapter number 50. In Isaiah 13, he makes very clear that he is talking about the destruction of Babylon in the last days. You can read about that, verse number 1 through verse number 14. He talks about the days of the day of the Lord that will be at hand, and how the sun and the moon will be darkened, and how Babylon will be destroyed. All of these things have yet to be fulfilled. Babylon will be rebuilt, but it will be destroyed by God. I want you to look with me back in Revelation 18. We'll draw to a close here. Revelation chapter number 18. I want you to notice what will end with Babylon whenever it ends. That is why the kings in 17 hated Babylon, but in 18 they loved Babylon. Because they hated the religious system of Babylon, but they loved the materialism and the power of Babylon. And when the city of Babylon is going to be destroyed, the kings will lament. I want you to notice with me three groups of people that will lament when Babylon is destroyed. Number one, the kings, the monarchs, because they will lose their power. It says that the kings will bewail her in that day because they'll see the smoke of her torment and they'll say, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So all the kings of the earth will wail because of her destruction, because they'll lose their power. Not only this, not only the kings, but the merchants. Not only the monarchs, but the merchants. The monarchs will lose their power, but the merchants will lose all their precious things. You've read the list. I won't read it again. Verse 11. 12, 13, 14, everything that is precious to them will be lost in this city. I find it interesting, it mentions slaves and souls of men. I don't know what exactly that means. One man said this, the slaves may refer to the women that will sell their bodies, and the souls of men may refer to the men that will sell their souls for things. That's true today. I can tell you this, as humanism progresses and pride and godliness progresses, men become dehumanized. Men and women become nothing more than things. You know, people are supposed to love people and use things, but instead we love things and we use people. That's what we do apart from God. They'll be destroyed. What will the merchants say? Verse 16, they'll say, alas, alas, that great city. Then look with me lastly. The monarchs will mourn because they'll lose their power. The merchants will mourn because they'll lose their precious things. And the mariners will mourn because they'll lose their profit. The sailors, the shipmasters, the world's tradesmen. Remember, the world in that day will be united under one economic system. There will be a one world order, and the Antichrist will be that way. Babylon started with one speech and one language, and Babylon is going to end with a one world order. And all the nations of the earth will have their economics and their profit based upon Babylon. And so, let me put it to you this way. When Babylon gets a gas shortage, everybody's going to get a gas shortage. Does that make sense? When Babylon is destroyed, all the world will lose their profit and their gain. What do the shipmasters say in verse 19? Alas, alas, that great city. A world financial crisis will result in the failure of banks and stock exchanges, and the world will crumble as we know it when Babylon is destroyed. What do we see here? God's had enough with our politics without Him. Our living and ruling and reigning without God. God's going to put an end to it one day before He sets up His kingdom. What do we see? What's this chapter all about? Babylon, the kingdom of the devil, will be lost. You know what He warns in verse number 5? Excuse me, in verse number 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Before God destroys Babylon, He gives a warning to anybody inside Babylon to get out of there. Sort of like He did with Lot in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, get out of there. If there can be an application tonight, can I tell you, you need to get out of there. Get out of the city and the wickedness and the pollution of Babylon today. There may not be a literal city of Babylon, but friend, the influence of Babylon and the devil is so heavy today with materialism and humanism and pride and rebellion against God, and so many people are caught up in that. And friend, if I can warn you tonight, it is to get away from those wicked, selfish, godless, devilish ideas to live for yourself and for what you can get. Friend, that is the Babylonish system. And God is going to destroy that in anybody that partakes in that. Separate yourselves. Come unto Christ and be saved and live for Him. Forget about Babylon. Come and be a part of the bride of Christ. You know what I love about this chapter? We're told of those that are grieved about Babylon, but we're told about those that are gladdened by it. There are going to be people that rejoice in heaven because of the destruction of Babylon. The kings will say, "Alas, alas." The merchants will say, "Alas, alas." The Christ, "Enough with the harlot. Behold now the Lamb of God." Friend, we finally get to see the rejoicing of heaven as we, the body of Christ, we are married unto the Lamb. And we get to be a part of the delight of heaven, not the doom of earth. Friend, I want you to understand that if you're not saved today, you've got one or two places. You're either a part of the bride of Christ or the harlot of Babylon. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either delighted in Christ or you're doomed. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. I can tell you this. Everything that you seek after in the world today, anything that is keeping you from being saved, anything that is keeping you from serving Christ, will be burned up one day. Read Revelation 18 again and see what you're living for. That nice house you got, it's going to burn. That nice car you got, it's going to wear out. I think of the foolish man. Christ gave the parable of the man who had barns full of things. And he said, "I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns." And God said, "Thou foolish man, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Babylon's going to burn. You can either burn with it or come out of it. It's your choice tonight. I'm done. I've said everything I'm going to say. This chapter really speaks for itself. Come out of Babylon. Christian, what are you doing? What are you doing living in Babylon when you're saved? Come out. Get out of that sin. It's not worth it. Christ wants to give you victory. How about you ask Him for the victory tonight? Let's pray. We'll be dismissed tonight. Father, thank You, Lord, for the privilege to preach Your word. Thank You for those that have listened. We appreciate their faithfulness. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've saved my soul. Lord, help us to come out of Babylon. Lord, help Emory Heights Baptist Church to have nothing to do with the worldly system of today. Lord, we're in the world, but we're not of it. Lord, help us to take as many out of the doom of Babylon as we can to tell them of Christ. Lord, would you bring us back safely to your house this Sunday? Lord, we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening tonight. I want to ask you, don't put it off. If you're feeling a tug in your heart, that's not a coincidence. That's God dealing with your conscience, dealing with you. Would you give your heart to Christ tonight? Just as Sister Joyce said a while ago, it's as simple as asking him to save you. Would you do that? You know the test to know if you're sincere in your salvation? The Bible says that with the heart man believeth and with the mouth confession is made. If you give your heart to Christ, tell somebody about it. We'd sure love to know. You can let us be the first. Tell us if you've been saved and then tell others. We thank you. Have a good night. To our church, we hope to see you this Sunday, Lord willing. Good night.